prayer, God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, God, that we are moving forward. And in order to move forward, God, we need, God, you to help us to remove anything, God, that would hinder us, anything that would hold us back, anything, God, that would try to stop us. Now, God, in Jesus' name, I thank you, God, for this opportunity to preach your word. Thank you for the assignment that's been given. I pray now, God, that those who are holding, God, their neighbor's hands, God, that you will meet them right where they are. God, that you will give them exactly what they stand in need of. God, help none of us leave here, God, the same way that we came in. That God, help us to leave different. Help us, God, to leave, God, knowing, God, that you are working all things together for good. God, in Jesus' name, I just come right now praying, God, that you would have your way like only you can. And God, we'll be sure, God, after it's all said and done, to give your name the honor and all the glory and all the praises. In Jesus' name, we want to say thank you. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen, amen. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise in the house. Why don't you turn with me to Proverbs, the fourth chapter, looking at verse 23. This August, I'll be delving into a sermon series. The name of the sermon series is Why You So Mad? Why You So Mad? The tag on that is, it's too hot to stay heated. Look at somebody, ask them, why are you so mad? Why are you so... Proverbs, the fourth chapter, the 23rd verse. And it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I want to preach this morning, if you don't mind. I want to use as a sermon topic as we start this sermon series, Why Are You So Mad? I want to use as a sermon topic this morning, defeating the enemy of the heart. Defeating the enemy of the heart. This month, I plan to tackle a subject that I believe that all of us have dealt with at some point in our lives. An issue that, if we are honest, has impacted relationships, has disrupted families, has ruined some friendships. And it shows up without fanfare, without introduction. But when it does, you know it's there. It controls us more than we control it. It has more power over us than we have over it. And once it is expressed, it is not easily forgotten. And it usually does way more harm than you intended. It is an emotion that takes over mind, body, and soul all at the same time. Collateral damage follows closely behind it, because those who are in the vicinity of its path are usually harmed by it in some way. And I know that you already know what I'm talking about, because I already said what I'm going to be preaching on. But that emotion that I'm talking about is anger. Anger is not our friend, because many times anger is birthed out of pain, rejection, hurt, abuse, and distress. The relevant question about this anger isn't whether we have a right to be angry, but the relevant question is whether we can handle what it means when we get angry. I started reading a book by Andy Stanley called Enemies of the Heart, where he talks about breaking free from the four emotions that control us. He deals with these four emotions. He deals with guilt and anger, and he deals with greed and jealousy. And he asserts that all of these emotions have a debt to debtor relationship. In other words, something is owed. He says that when we talk about guilt, it's really saying that I owe you. And when we talk about anger, it says that you owe me. And when we talk about greed, it's I owe me. And when we talk about jealousy, it's God owes me. In other words, there's this debt-to-debtor relationship. Somebody's got to pay, and somebody is owed something. And I totally agree when I read this book with Stanley, because he says that out of the four emotions, anger is not only the most obvious to stop, but perhaps the most dangerous to deal with. He says that anger is the result of not getting what you want. As complex as anger can sometimes be, this is its simplest definition, that you aren't getting what you want. He goes on to say, show me an angry person and I'll show you a hurt person. And I guarantee you that that person is hurt because something has been taken. And somebody owes them something, if not just an apology. How many folks here just wish somebody would have said, I'm sorry? That after they hurt you and did what they did, that they could have just at least had the courage and had the at least just tell me that you're sorry. It may not fix everything. So, and something I've learned though over my years is, because I have to admit here that I have been both the offender and the offended. You know, sometimes we just try to act like everybody done stuff to us. We ain't done nothing to nobody else. But I've been on both sides, and I've realized that no matter what we think is owed, that it can never be paid back. In other words, those who have been hurt can't expect those who hurt them to heal them. You can't expect them to repay you for what you've lost. Of all the things in the human heart, anger can be the most violent, the most destructive, the most unhealthy. Matter of fact, just yesterday we saw anger and what it could do, that it would literally take 29 lives out of here because of anger. And if anger is not handled in the proper way, it can have drastic life-changing consequences. Left unresolved, anger creates an intense desire to seek revenge and to destroy something. Somebody's got to pay for what they've done. And the true victim from anger is not the person who the anger is directed towards, but it's really the person that harbors and stores and releases the anger. Mark Twain said it best. Anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything on which it is poured. Our hearts take on the damage while creating more damage to others simultaneously. No one wins from unchecked, unrestrained, and uncontrolled anger. And I'm not here to judge nobody, because I got my own stuff. But I pray that I'm here to help create an environment for healing and forgiveness and deliverance from an emotion that draws its energy from negativity and is a magnet to hostility. An emotion, I'm talking about anger. I wish I could have at least one folk that would at least wink at me, let me know I'm on the right street. An emotion that tears apart families. An emotion that ruptures relationships and mutilates marriages. An emotion that breaks unbreakable bonds. An emotion that holds happiness hostage and delivers chaos in communities and wages wars between countries. I'm talking about anger. And it all starts with the flickering flame to remind us that anger is not a friend, but an enemy of the heart. How do we defeat anger? So my assignment for these next few weeks are clear. God has sent me to deliver a message that will make us uncomfortable, to make us better. A message that will make us take a deeper look at ourselves and stay there until we like what we see. A message that will cause us to say, ouch, but craftily will move us to a hallelujah. Look at somebody, tell them, I need to get to the hallelujah. I'm talking about anger. I ain't going to shout you. My job is to help you. Look at somebody, tell them, I need to defeat the enemy of the heart. And the first thing you had to do in order to defeat the enemy of the heart, first thing you had to do is you had to get regular heart checkups. Good to see you, Pastor. Good to see you, Reverend Ross. You have to get regular heart checkups. Look at somebody, tell them, don't forget to get your checkup. Don't forget to get. I believe one of the greatest challenges when it comes to anger is not even recognizing that anger is actively present in our hearts. It's when we are walking around with hearts consumed with anger that has gone undetected and unnoticed. There's a danger when we think that anger is only outwardly expressed, but forget that anger is inwardly stored. Matter of fact, some of us are walking around like ticking bombs because at the wrong moment, if somebody says the wrong thing, they ain't just gonna get what they did. They gonna get all the stuff that you got stored up for the last 5 years. It is the danger. So there are many of us who have anger that is unresolved from past experiences that don't see the damage that it is causing our hearts in the present. It's tough when everybody else can see what we can't see. It's difficult when we can't identify the enemy of the heart that is creating both chaos and disorder in our own lives. But the truth is, anger has a way of hiding and camouflaging itself for so long that we don't always see that it has gotten a hold of us. Life challenges come at us from all angles, the good stuff and the bad stuff, and all of it gets channeled through our hearts. So there are times we are angry and don't even know why we are so upset. And anger left unchecked has the potential to drag us into self-destructive and relationship-wrecking behaviors. I wish there was somebody that would admit that there were some folks that you did wrong just because you was angry. So the question becomes, how do we give ourselves regular heart checkups? How do we monitor our heart activity? Well, we must be honest with ourselves and willing enough to ask God to show us what we may not want to see. We have to have the courage to let God in so that we can get the enemy of our hearts out. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, we got to give access to the one who will give us the diagnosis that may just save our lives. Arthur Stanley says, none of us reach adulthood without a few dings to the heart. Our response to the dings determines the condition of our hearts. We cannot control how people treat us. We cannot stop their hurtful words. But what we can do is monitor their effects on our hearts. In other words, we got to do some regular heart checkups. You see, it's in the checkups that we can root out what has tried to take root within. It's in the checkups that we can acknowledge what was done to us while at the same time being honest enough to admit what some of it has done to our hearts. It's in the checkups that we can keep from passing our anger into the lives of our children. It's in the checkups that we can accept whatever parts that we may have played in what happened to us. It's in the checkups that we can start the process of healing. It's in the checkups where we can move from victims to victorious and from prisoners to participants in our own freedom. It's in the checkups that we can seek God's assistance to reverse the impact that the enemy of the heart has had on us. It's in the checkups that we can see how God can take the things that were meant for evil and still turn it around for our good. But you got to do some heart checkups. You got to be honest with yourself And you got to let God be honest with you. Because if not, that anger, it's gonna hurt somebody. The second thing is, not only do you have to do regular checkups, but the second thing you have to do is you have to start to see where you need to unclog your arteries. Look at somebody telling, I got some stuff blocked up in here. I got some stuff. Proverbs 4:23 reminds us, above all else, guard your hearts, where everything you do flows from it. But when there is an enemy of the heart, its only job is to stop the flow. It is to create blockage, to cause damage to the heart. That's what a clogged artery does. It is when plaque builds up on the walls of the artery, and it builds up so much that the flow of the blood can no longer pass freely. And after a while, when it cannot pass freely, the oxygen begins to get cut off, and you start to have signs and symptoms where you cannot breathe like you used to. It's the same thing. It's the same thing with anger, that anger has a way of trying to block the flow of love and compassion that God wants to flow through you. Forgiveness gets blocked when there's anger. And acknowledging and monitoring the anger is only the beginning process of battling the enemy of our hearts. Knowing what's wrong is important, but a diagnosis without treatment will leave us more susceptible to future harm and damage. So only let's deal with the arteries in our hearts that have gotten clogged up due to anger that has us calloused and hardened. I'm talking about anger that has been built up after a while, and now it's been left there too long, and anger that blocks the flow of forgiveness and obstructs compassion and deters kindness. Anger, I'm talking about anger that does not allow us to see the best in others, but only their worst. I'm talking about anger that keeps us from believing in redemption and transformation of those that we are angry with. You see, anger is always one-sided. It never sees the other side. Anger, it does not compromise. It does not negotiate with how it feels. You did something to me, and you owe me, and you ain't no good, and there's nothing that can be done with you, and you are a dead deep father, and I hate you. That's what anger does. It causes you to tell somebody, you gotta pay me. But how can we move into the promise of what God has for us in our present while still holding on to the anger from hurt and pain we will cause in our past? There are things we will never get a chance to receive from God as long as there is anger present that prevents the uninterrupted flow of God's blessings to us and through us. Clogged arteries from unresolved anger will keep us from experiencing the fullness of healthy relationships, because we only see the other sex as dogs that need to be trained or garden tools that need to be used. Clogged arteries will keep family feuds alive over issues we can't even remember. Clogged arteries will keep our spouses from being able to communicate because of verbal abuse we always inflict on them when they want to say something. Clogged arteries will keep us constantly destroying the good things that God is trying to send our way because of the walls that we have built to guard our hearts have become the walls that are keeping the bad from getting out and the good from being able to come in. Clogged arteries will keep us walking into church mad and then leaving church still mad. Clogged arteries will paralyze us, cripple us, immobilize us so that we are unable to move forward in God's purpose and God's calling for our lives. Look at somebody, tell them, I need God to cut me. I know that don't sound good, but that's what we need. Because the only way God is going to be able to renew the enemy of the heart that has clogged up our arteries is that God's got to cut. He's got to cut some stuff. He's got to do open heart surgery. He's got to go in and deal with some stuff. And I know that cuts are never, they're never pleasant. Cuts never feel good. Cuts are painful and cuts are difficult and cuts will hurt you. But cuts are required for the healing. Look at somebody telling, I need God to cut me. Cuts mean that we may have to revisit some areas that we've tried to keep secret for too long. Cuts mean we may have to admit to some of our own mess. Cuts mean we may have to deal with some past skeletons that we've buried. Cuts mean we may have to find a good therapist to help unlock some locked doors and some dark closets. But instead of being afraid of the cuts that have to take place, we got to learn to put our faith in the surgeon who holds the scalpel. We must trust that whatever cuts God is making are just a part of the process to get to our wholeness. I don't want to stay mad. I don't want to keep walking around angry every time I see him, every time I hear that voice, every time I smell that perfume. I don't want to be triggered by that foolishness. I need God to cut me. Create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. God, I need you to cut me. I know it's going to hurt. I know I'm going to have to recover from it, but I'd rather recover from the cuts that come from your hand than the enemy of the heart that continues to tear me down and bring me down and make me feel like I'm not worthy. Look at somebody, tell them, I got to unclog some arteries. I got to ask God to cut me. Now, the challenge that I've realized is that once we get the courage to get the diagnosis and to do the regular heart checkups, and once we get the courage to go and ask God to do surgery, the last challenge for many of us is that we got to get to a place where we are not ashamed to show our scars. Because wherever there's cuts, there's scars. And scars are not really attractive. Scars allow people to see we've been worked on and we've had some imperfections. Scars give people access to the pain that we had to endure to get where. And so many times, the last hold the enemy has is the embarrassment from our scars. So we're healed, but we're still regretful. We're better, but we still feel guilty. So we hide the scars. Y'all, let me help y'all. So when I was younger, I had surgery on both of my knees when I was in high school. And I've got 3 scars that was done on both sides. And then later on, when I got older, I tore off the talus tendon. I got a long scar here. But when I was younger, I remember when I got the scars, I was so embarrassed I wore long shorts because I didn't want nobody else to see my scars. They were ugly. I didn't want nobody to see what I had been through. I was a basketball player. I didn't want the other guys on the other team to know my weakness. I didn't want them to see I had scars. So I always, whether I was in school, whether I was on the court, I always wore long shorts because I didn't want people to see the ugliness of my scars. I didn't want folks to see my scars. I did not see them as an asset. I saw them as a liability. Look at somebody telling your scars are not your liability. Your scars are your testimony. Your scars, when we show them, allow people to see what God has brought you through. And somebody needs to see your scars, because then they can realize that there's a God that can heal them of the anger and the enemies of their heart. You got to be willing to show your scars. So that's why today I wore shorts. And I wore them a little shorter than usual, because I wanted y'all to see I'm no longer ashamed of my scars. The doctor told me, he said, after he did these surgeries, he said, you'll never play basketball again. And I remember I did not take that, and I worked as hard as I could. And out of all the 12 players that played on my varsity team, only two of us got scholarships. One was 6'11", he should have. And the other one was me. The guy with scars. And so my scars, now they're my testimony. They remind me of what God's done for me. I'm not ashamed of my scars. I show my scars. Because they create a conversation with folks that then say, how'd that happen? I say, oh, when I was in high school. And then I talk about how God, your scars are your talking point to your testimony, to help somebody else realize just how good God has been for you. Stop hiding what God's done for you. Stop trying to make it seem like you are this church person that got everything together, and you walking around and you got, how you doing? Oh, I'm highly favored, and the Holy Ghost is, I'm not saying that you're not, but have you been through anything? And if you have, can you show me? Because what he's fixed for you, I need him to fix for me. What he's brought you through, I need him to bring me through. I need to see somebody who's going to be real enough to show me their scars. You are no good to the kingdom if you can't show your scars. You are a watered down Christian with no power. Your power does not come from what you've done right. Your power comes from the God that showed you how to come out of your wrong. Look at somebody, tell them, I got scars. And I'm not afraid to show them. God's delivered me from some stuff. Gotten some stuff out of my heart that didn't need to be there. And he had to cut some. Not only did he have to cut. Some stuff he had to renew. There were some people that were clogging up my arteries. The birds of the feather flock together. So every time I got angry, they got angry with me. Every time I told them I was mad, they got mad. Every time I told them I was upset, they said, who are we going to crush? Now I need somebody that could calm me down and say, but God forgave you, so why can't you forgive them? I need somebody that can pray for me in the midst of the anger and the being upset and wanting to do all kinds. I need somebody that I know can help me get through this. Look at somebody, tell them, I need to see your scars. That's it, I'm done. Stand up, throw up the church. That's all. This, I'm telling y'all, I pray that y'all, and not just that you'll come every Sunday, that you'll invite somebody. This anger thing is real, y'all. I shared it on my post. I'm going to share it with y'all. I had planned to preach this sermon series almost 3 months ago, probably four. I had already had the graphic designer do the graphic. The graphic y'all see now, I just had her change words. It was already together. I was ready to preach. I was like, yeah, that's a good series right here. Me and God wrathing, like, yeah, God, hit this joint in May, kill this. This is a good one right here, God. I'm going to deal with anger. God said, nah, we can't deal with it until you deal with yours. I said, oh, what you mean? I'm good. This is the thing. Anger ain't always an outward expression. We think that anger means that somebody's walking around screaming and cussing and acting a fool. Some of the most angry people are the nicest people you'll meet. But all it takes
All it takes is that trigger, one button, one push, that fuse to get lit. And you'll see a side of us that you didn't even know was there. Not Reverend Bill, yes, yeah. Yeah, he got locked up. Y'all laughing, but how many of y'all been that close? That switch of anger hit you so hard and it got you so mad and you snapped. And even when you came out of it, you begin to tell yourself, I can't believe I did that. That's the unresolved anger that's been sitting there, then harboring itself, then waiting for the moment. And that's why you got to deal with that stuff. And I'm praying over these next 4 weeks that by the time we come out of this, that we're going to come out better. Look at somebody telling them, I'm coming out of this better. I'm coming out of this. I've been faking like I've been good, that I got some anger issues I need to deal with. And I'm praying and believing that God is going to help all of us. And we're going to go into September looking like different folks. Amen. Look at somebody telling, I see a difference on you already. I see it on you already. I see a difference on you already. Just want to make sure everybody in the house is saved, everybody has a church home. So y'all do me a favor, just check your